Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Dawn Cherie Wilkerson.
Tonight, I want to talk to you on that thought, the path to freedom. Will you bow your heads, close your eyes with me? We're going to pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this night. I thank you for every single woman in this house, God. I thank you, Lord, that just as we honored Kristen, God, there's so many stories in this house of women, God, who have given their lives away. And Lord, there are stories to be written that are going to begin tonight because you're going to unlock hearts. You're going to speak. You're going to do what only you can do. And we love you so much, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Well, I don't know if you noticed, but I got my girl gang up here on the stage. They're pretty awesome, right? I'm looking around right now at my buddies. Every single one of them have an incredible story. I love Barbara right here. She's a fantastic mom. I love Jill. Do you know that Jill invited me to her house one time to Zumba? And we Zumba'd our hearts out. I need to get back in there with you. But they're going to be preaching with me. Can you put your hands together for every one of these amazing women? I love them so much. Have you ever been in a moment where you lost control? I don't care what culture you come from. As women, we know how to lose it, don't we? I will never forget one of those moments in my life. I've had many, but I'll try not to share too many tonight. I was a sophomore in college, and I was studying abroad in Cambridge, England. Rich was actually accepted in the same program. It was full of many of our dear friends, and as we studied in Cambridge for the semester, we would take many different excursions, one of which was to the Lakes District in England. Now, this is one of the most beautiful places I've ever visited, but hear me, visit there in summer, will you? Because it was snowing. And as we began to climb the mountains and there were lakes around us, but they said, we're going on a hike. We started this hike. And then we got to a particular place where they stopped us. And there was a man there sleeping on a rock. And he suddenly stood up and said, hi, I'm your host today. We're going to be mountain climbing. I was like, I didn't sign up to do mountain climbing. But I had my coat and I had my boots and they put the harness on us and I started the trek up the mountain. Now what I didn't know was, is that not only was it cold, but there would be a blizzard that would decide to appear that day. And so as I started to climb, the snow started to come down harder and harder. And as I made my way up the mountain with the harness around me, I started to grip the rocks just a little bit harder. And my feet, I was making sure every crevice was secure as I put my foot into the hole in the mountain. And then I noticed that I was holding onto the mountain so hard that my fingers were getting raw through my gloves. And all of a sudden, in the snow, I looked down at everyone so far down below me, and I lost it. Panic took over. I could not take another step. I could hardly breathe a word. I froze on the mountain. Rich was capturing the whole thing on camera. Are you surprised? Hey, babe, are you okay? I'm not okay. Tears started to stream down my face. I started to yell, someone help me now. I've got to get down. Well, all of a sudden, the man in charge, he gets on the harness. He gets a harness himself, and he comes up the mountain beside me, and he starts to speak to me, and he starts to calm me down. He says, listen, you're fine. I said, I'm not fine. Don't tell me I'm fine. He said, you're completely safe. I said, I'm not safe. I can't feel my feet. I can't feel my hands. Nothing is safe about this. And then he looked at me and he said, just let go. I said, I can't let go. He said, just let go. And he let go of the mountain, and all of a sudden he was completely suspended in the harness, completely safe and secure. And as I looked at him, he said, "Just let go." And in that moment, I released my grip of my raw fingers and my toes that had been shaking while holding on to the mountain. And in that moment, I didn't drop one inch. I was safe and secure in the harness that held me from above. All I had to do was release holding my own weight. And you know, as we look to the Bible in the New Testament, there's a story of a man known as Saul before his name was changed to Paul. And Saul was a man that was used to carrying his own weight. He was a man that was used to making his own way based on his great education, based on his zealous religious practices. He was a Pharisee. He was respected. He was known. People looked up to him. And because he was used to carrying his own weight due to his stringent application of the law, Saul applied that same application to the people around him. And he began to judge them. And he began to actually persecute the early church. The Bible tells us that Saul, before he met Jesus, he held the coats of the people that killed the first martyr, Stephen. That he was enraged by the message of Jesus because he was carrying his own weight. And he was making his own way. And he went a step further. He started to hunt down Christians. He started to tear families apart, the Bible tells us. And Saul was on the road to Damascus to attack once again Christians and to place them in prison. And as Saul is on the road to imprison others, God decided to step on that road to set Paul free. How many of you are thankful for a God that doesn't give up on us? God wasn't intimidated by Saul's story. He wasn't intimidated by the hatred that Saul had for him. God didn't turn away. God didn't run away. God pursued Paul. And the Bible tells us that as he walked on the road to Damascus, that a great light shone from heaven and that a voice called out and said, "Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me?" Even in his sin, even in his ability to be lost, God knew him by name. God knew right where he was. Ladies, God knows where you are tonight. Maybe you feel forgotten, but he sees you. And I don't care what you've done, he has not given up on you. And in that moment, Paul cries out. He doesn't know who it is speaking to him. And Jesus reveals himself in that moment. And in that moment, a catalyst of a conversation between Paul and Jesus himself starts to change Saul's name to Paul and Saul's life to the new identity that God had created for him. How many of you know there's new life in Jesus? And so it's actually pretty amazing because he goes and his life is changed, and through many different things that transpire, he actually takes up the call of God upon his life to carry the gospel to the nations. Paul becomes the greatest missionary of his time, and he witnesses the miraculous as he goes from city to city, nation to nation. He sees the miraculous and he lives in peril. He goes through torment and he also helps assemble the early church. But hear me, for Saul to walk into his new identity as Paul, it wasn't just him picking up his faith. It was what he was releasing as he walked forward. There's a path to freedom in front of you tonight. A few months ago, we faced Hurricane Irma. And I don't know about you guys, but that was a terrifying time in our city and in our state as a whole. And I'll never forget flying in to the airport on the first flight back in after everyone had left. We were flying in and I could see trees that covered highways. I could see trees that blocked in front of homes. And that week, VU Church assembled with so many other churches in our city and we began to repair and to rebuild. And the guys got chainsaws and they started to go street to street to tear down the trees. And you know what amazed me? Was the trees that fell, they weren't just little puny trees. Some of them had been planted for hundreds of years. And some of them, when they fell, they were so great and so mighty that when they fell, their branches alone looked like trees in and of themselves. So when they fell across the street, it didn't just look like a tree fell. It looked like it was the end of the road. It looked like there was nothing else left on the other side. It looked like a forest stood before you. And let me tell you today, maybe the path of your life looks like you're at a dead end. Maybe the path of your life looks like there is not one more step to be taken. There is nothing but a chaotic forest before you. But I want to declare to you today that there's a path to freedom. It's time to remove some of the roadblocks and to get on your way to the destiny and the purpose that God has called you to. Can any of the women in this house testify? If indeed home is always a journey, it's not just what you pick up, it's what you leave behind. And hear me, this is not a message of change your heart and change yourself. Because the truth is today, the only way you can release the weight that you're carrying today is through relationship with Jesus. The only person who can truly rid you of the weight that you walked in these doors with is the love of Jesus Christ. He is the only one. And so as we teach tonight, understand this. Everything we talk about removing from the path in front of you for you to walk into freedom can only be removed through relationship with Jesus. If you're taking notes tonight, the first thing you need to understand is on the path to freedom, Jesus removes our record. Jesus removes our record. All of us have a record. You say, what do you mean? Well, your record is your identity. Your record is your identity. And hear me, a lot of times when you think of record, you're like, oh, I know that. God removed all the bad things from my life. No, no, no. The record you can be holding on to tonight are the good things in your life. Can be your achievements, your accomplishments, what people think of you, how people esteem you, who you're known to be as. Your record is what your identity is. Either way, if you let your track record define you, you will never be able to walk truly on the path to freedom. We look at the life of Paul. Consider Paul before he met God. He had a good record in the eyes of his religious community. He was esteemed. He was revered. He was educated. He was known. His good record was something that he held to. And yet when he had a moment of surrender to Jesus himself, all of a sudden that good record became a bad record that he was known as. Because now the Christians that he wanted to call brother and sister were terrified of him because he had killed them. He had hunted them down. He had sought them out to destroy their very lives and their families. Paul had every reason to look at his good record and his bad record and to back away from the path that God had placed before him. Oh, my good record is too great. Oh, my bad record is too bad. But Paul did not give up on the call of God for his life. Instead, he let Jesus remove the record once and for all. Hear me today. This is what Jesus does. Listen to Paul's very words. You wonder if he struggled with this question that we struggle with today of our record and our identity and being known by what we've done. Listen to the words of Paul. He says, and you, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside. He moved it out of the way. He pushed it out of the road. He took the record and he removed it. This he laid aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Come on, only Jesus can remove sin. Only Jesus can remove our past. And Paul testifies, oh no, Jesus removed the record. Jesus removes the record and he gives resurrection and new life. The other day I was at church on a Sunday and one of our amazing VU girls came up to me. Sweetest gift ever. She had been to London and she knew that I love records. I really do. And she had brought me a record from a London record shop of the Beatles. It was the coolest gift ever. And if you know me, you know I love my record player. I have it in my home. And you know, as I put up my Christmas ornaments, I promise you that record player is going to be playing. And it's going to be playing something good. It's going to be playing something that I know. I'm going to know every chorus. I'm going to know every line. I'm going to know every part of how that record plays because I love it and I play it over and I play it over and I play it over again. For many of us, we're so thankful that God has removed the record of guilt and shame. But hear me, it's not just a one-time moment that God removes the record from our path so that we can walk in freedom. Because many of us, as we follow the path of light, we start to get attached to the record of what we've accomplished now. And we start to play that record. Oh, this is who I am. And I know how my life is. And I have my home organized, and I have my family organized. And we're going to go around the bend one more time because I like this chorus. And I like this schedule. And I like the way things are. But ladies, if you want to walk in true freedom, you got to take the record off the record player. And you got to let the Holy Spirit breathe some new life into you. You got to let the Holy Spirit sing a new song to you. Oh, you may not know the chorus, but it'll be the greatest adventure of your life. You may not know the lyrics, but he'll breathe new lyrics into every season of your life. We're to be led by the Spirit, not anticipating what happened in the past, but led with anticipation that the best is yet to come. We can't keep playing the record over. We got to allow Jesus to remove the record, and we've got to be led by the Spirit. Remove the record and let resurrection life infiltrate every part of you. Be filled up and led by the Spirit. See, instead of the record, there's renewal. Paul said this, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is the pattern of this world? I'll tell you, it's a record. It's a record. God doesn't want you to keep playing your record of your plans and your dreams. Instead, God wants you to say, God, renew my mind. Let me think some new thoughts. Let me think about some other people other than the usual people I'm thinking about. Let me open up my arms a little bit wider. Let me be a little braver. Let me be a little bolder. Let me be a little more compassionate. God, you go ahead and renew my mind so that I can step off the continual spin of the record and I can walk into the path to freedom. Are there any women in this house ready to walk into freedom? Oh man, there have been seasons in my life, yes, where the record of my life ruled and defined me. You know, Rich and I, for those of you that I've never shared my story with you, for 8 years we prayed for this baby. We've been married for 11 years and, you know, you hear report after report and it feels like a broken record. But when we're led by the Spirit and we allow the Spirit to renew our minds, even in times of pain, even in times of disappointment, even in times of not knowing the answers, but when we allow the record to be removed and we allow God to transform our mind, it's at that moment of renewal that faith floods our soul so that we can walk freely even when the obstacle persists. And I'm so thankful for a God that has never done writing our story, because I stand here today a testimony that our God heals, our God restores, our God redeems. Come on, ladies, do you believe it tonight? Let Jesus remove the record. Let Jesus remove the record. Not only does Jesus remove our record on the path to freedom, but secondly, he removes our regret. Now, if the record is our identity, regret represents our emotions. Regret can go much further than just what actually transpired. It can take on a life all its own. Chewing on what's happened in the past, rehearsing what's happened in the past, magnifying what has happened in the past. This past month, I talked to my brother on the phone. I have five brothers, but I talked to one of them on the phone. And he told me a story that terrified me. He had been in LA this past month, and he had been trying to leave the city to fly out at LAX airport. And as he had gotten on the road, on the interstate, to drive to the airport so he could fly home, all of a sudden the forest fires that we've seen on national TV suddenly became reality to him. They overtook the interstate, and he began to take detour after detour, running for hours in his car from these forest fires that had consumed neighborhoods, that had consumed acres, that had taken the lives of many different individuals. And when he finally got to the airport 3 hours later, he had missed his flight. He was exhausted. And he was terrified. All because one little spark turned into a flame. And can I tell you, when it comes to regret, one thought can trigger a flame of repercussions in your life. It's time to stop running. It's time to stop allowing the flames to overtake your life. Hear me, regret will stop at nothing. It will start in one area of your life, but regret will consume your relationships. Regret will consume your marriage. Regret will consume your purpose. Regret will consume your dreams. It's time to stand up and say, Jesus, remove the regret. I'm done looking in the past, and I'm ready to move forward. But only Jesus can remove the regret, right? So let me ask you today, are you running? Does regret have you on the run? Because the path to freedom leaves regret behind. The path to freedom shuts the mouth of regret. Hear me, living for Jesus doesn't mean that our lives are perfect, and that we don't make mistakes, and that we don't have failures. But living for Jesus means that we don't allow regret to take up residence in our heart. That we allow Jesus to point our eyes forward. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. What he started, he will complete. Can anybody testify in this house tonight? We serve a God who doesn't condemn us, but he draws us close. Hear me, Paul could have wallowed in regret. Can you imagine? I mean, if Paul would have allowed the flames of thoughts that the enemy threw in his mind to overtake him, we wouldn't have half of the New Testament. Paul stood firm, not in what he had done, but what Jesus had done for him. He knew that he had been set free, that the record had been removed, and that therefore regret had been removed. And his emotions didn't need to be invested in the past, but all of his passion and all of his fervor and everything within him needed to be focused on the future. And the same for you. Look forward. Not backwards. Paul is the one who declares in Romans 8:28, you know it, and we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. See, Paul understood, instead of regret, when it comes to Jesus, it's always a restart. It's always a chance to begin again. Paul testifies, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what's ahead. What does that sound like? It sounds like getting rid of regret. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. You don't have time for regret. You don't have time for guilt. You don't have time for the lies of the enemy. It's time for you to allow Jesus to remove regret and for you to walk on the path to freedom. It's really funny because this morning I woke up and, man, it's been a crazy journey being pregnant, y'all. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen every morning. My body is amazing me right now. But I woke up this morning to a notification on my phone from one of the apps I have that tracks the pregnancy, and it said, congratulations, you're 30 weeks pregnant. And I was like, yes! And I felt so good about life until I read the second line on it. It said, you can expect to feel fatigue, sore bones, nausea, and clumsiness. And I looked back at my phone at the crack of dawn this morning and I said, I reject that. Can I tell you guys? Can I tell you women of God? That when it comes to the lies that the enemy throws in your face, you can look back and say, I reject that. I reject the regret. I reject the guilt. I reject the shame. I reject the condemnation. I reject the lies of the enemy. If you reject regret, this house, give God the biggest shout of praise. Say it after me. Say, I reject regret. You reject regret. You reject the lies of the enemy. Someone in here is going to go, oh, that's my thing now. I'm going to get a tattoo. Reject regret. Hear me. Hear me, independent woman. The only way you're able to reject regret is when you fully surrender to Jesus. Because if you try to reject regret just out of your own strength, you've gone right back to the record. But when you reject regret knowing that this has been paid for, God has paid for this. It's been settled. Jesus, you removed that roadblock of regret. I will now walk forward on the pathway to freedom. See, Jesus removes our record. He removes our regret. But lastly tonight, Jesus and only Jesus can remove our resistance. If the record of your life is your identity, if regret represents your emotions, then resistance represents your will. And God never forces himself inside of your heart. But in every season of our life, we have the opportunity to fully surrender to his will and to his plan and to follow him step by step on the path to freedom. See, we opened up this year with the realization that on the journey home, Jesus gives us rest. He gives us rest, but hear me. The resistance in our heart to the hand of God as he molds our lives will not bring you rest. And it's only when you fully surrender that God is able to shape you and mold you the way that he intended. See, there's an invitation for all of us, straight from heaven, from the one who loves you more than anyone else ever could because he created you. His love is perfect. It's faultless. Jesus says to us, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And don't you know that it's not condemnation that draws us to him? It's not fear. It's not the accusation of our past that draws us to the love of God. It's His love. It's His overwhelming, flooding, ever-present, faithful, steadfast love that draws us into the arms of God. But hear me, it's His love that draws us. But once we answer and we say, yes, I will come, then the call becomes, come and die. Come and die to your flesh. Yeah, not what you came to hear tonight. Hey, come. Have all the love that you've been looking for. But as you come, you've got to die. You've got to die to yourself. You've got to die to your sinful nature. You've got to die to your own dreams, because it's only when you die to yourself that you will truly live. That's when life begins, when you fully surrender. Stop resisting. Let Jesus remove the resistance in your heart. There's resistance in every season of life when it comes to our journey home. And you know, with this pregnancy, every season has been different. The first trimester, y'all, I thought I was in a coma. I might as well have just missed those 12 weeks of my life. I was so out of it. And then the second trimester came and I felt amazing. But then all of a sudden, my belly just started popping. And every other, oh, this is a really holy moment for the keys to come in. Because I was just about to say, it wasn't just my belly that grew. Every part of my body started to get larger. And I'm like, God, what is going on right now in this second trimester? And as my stomach began to stretch, there was resistance. Real resistance. Even now, I was scratching my stomach earlier. And some of the moms, amazing moms up here that I love, said, Dontree, stop scratching. But you know why I'm scratching? Because there's resistance. My skin is stretching. I've never been here before. But how silly. You would laugh at me if I said, oh, my skin feels really tight. I don't know if I should have a baby. You would look at me and say, you're crazy. Yeah. Dontree, your body was built to carry that child. The resistance is just part of it. Get over the resistance and focus on the miracle within you. There's a stretch. There's a pull. There are some things that are going to change. And let me tell you, everything about your life changes as God begins to birth something new in you. All of a sudden, the clothes that you used to wear, the things you used to put on, they don't fit anymore. All of a sudden, the things you used to crave, you don't crave anymore. All of a sudden, the way that your usual schedule went, He starts to interrupt your sleep. Can I get a witness in this house that we can't give in to the resistance? We've got to surrender to God. Hear me. God wants to remove the resistance in your life, and He wants you to release everything to Him. Some of you today, there's jealousy in your heart. You know what that is? It's resistance. Wow. Critical spirit. What is that? It's resistance. Laziness. Resistance. Gossip. Resistance. Unforgiveness. Resistance. Fear. Resistance. Religion. Resistance. And you start to feel a stretch. And you want to back away from the miracle God has placed within you? Oh no, God meant for you to step over that resistance and to lean into what He's doing in you, because He's reshaping you. He's rebuilding you. He's birthing something new inside of you. Can anybody witness in the house tonight? That's our God. That's what He does. Oh, I don't look the same. Oh, I don't feel the same. You shouldn't. God's shaping you. Yeah. And every time you feel that resistance, just an opportunity to say, God, I won't lean into the resistance. I'll lean into the release. I'm going to release what I hold, because only You can truly blaze the trail to the path to freedom. It's our flesh. It's our enemy. Some of you, 30 years married in this house. But you know, there's still an opportunity for a wedge to come in your relationship. Don't allow the resistance that the enemy places in your life to lie to you and steal the path that God has in front of you. Others of you, you've surrendered your life to Jesus, but God's pulling you in deeper into his love. And as you get pulled deeper into his love, there's more surrender. Don't allow the resistance of your flesh to talk you out of the miracle that God has ahead of you. Let it be set aside. Let the distractions be set aside. Let your old way of thinking be set aside. Let your old desires be set aside. Let Jesus remove the resistance. Paul's so forward with us about what it takes to walk in true freedom. He says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He says this in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, however I consider my life worth nothing to me, my only aim is to finish the race, complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. How does Paul say, I consider my life worth nothing to me except for the task that God has placed in front of me? It sounds like a man who went from carrying his own weight to releasing the resistance and fully surrendering to the presence of God. And because of it, God used him to change all of our lives because of his faith, because of his surrender. As we're closing tonight, hear me. When you remove the roadblocks, that's when you can see the road. You know what? You can walk out of these doors and you can just keep staring at the woods. I can't go any further. You can let your emotions rule you. Get wrapped up in talking to everybody else except for Jesus about it. You can stare at those woods. Keep looking at the record of what you did this year and your mistakes or how good you did this year. You can feed that resistance instead of feeding the miracle God's placed within you. Or you can look at the forest within you and in front of you and you can say, oh, Jesus, you can move that. I know this isn't a dead end. It's a new beginning. The path to freedom stands on the other side of this. The Olympics in Rio in 2016, there's a legendary Olympic race. It's the men's 10,000-meter race. And men representing every nation around the globe were there. And there is a man who had already won one gold medal. His name was Mo Farah. And as they lined up and the gun was shot, they started to race. And everyone was anticipating that Mo was going to win. Mo is going to win. Mo is going to win. When all of a sudden, halfway through the race, Mo falls down. And not only does Mo fall as he is running, the expected winner of this Olympic race, but as he falls, people begin to trample him. Every single runner steps on him, runs past him as they begin to run the race that was before them. And as Mo is rolling on the ground, it seemed like his story was completely over. Everyone had stepped on him. Everyone had passed him by. But then the unthinkable happened. You can watch it for yourself. He got back up on his feet. And he began to run again. And you may say, Don Shree, that's really noble. He didn't give up. At least he finished the race. Oh, no, he did more than finish the race. He started back up again, step after step, lap after lap, until he came up against the two front runners. And as the final feat of the race came to a close, Mo took the lead in front of everyone. He fell, but it didn't stop him from running his race. And no record, no regret, no resistance can stop you from your path to freedom. If you're free in this house, give God a shout.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.